You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Sunday, the 25th of March. The flat well and truly back, but it's jumps meetings in the UK with Ascot and Carlisle, and then the second day of the Lincoln meeting at Doncaster, of course, for all you flat fans out there. There's also a racing in Ireland, particularly good meeting at Nace, which I'm sure they'll try and fit in on racing radio. It gets underway at about 1:50. On Sunday, and in the studio, James Millman, Tom Morley and Alistair Jones. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Paddy Aspel. Hello, Paddy.
How are you doing, John?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks, pal.
Fantastic. Well, the flat has returned as we record this afternoon at Doncaster with the traditional curtain raiser, the Lincoln meeting. In fact, the Lincoln itself has just taken place as we record this podcast, Paddy, and it's been won in very impressive style by a Dabe.
Yeah, and probably the most impressive thing was, John, because the ground there today looks very claggy. Doesn't look very enjoyable at all. But of all the... That was the fourth race today. And all the horses that were involved in the finish are horses that have raced to the fore, you know, very, very handy or even made all. And Adabe was one of them. Probably because he just travelled so strongly. James Doyle had no choice, travelled ever so strongly, and even in that ground, he's probably your first winner today that's actually looked visually impressive, because Zabil Prince won the listed race, the race beforehand. I mean, he's a very, very good horse, but even he looked a little bit laboured in the ground, although he got the job done. The ground looks very claggy and holding today, and it's certainly, for me, it's all about looking for horses that race to the forefront, but that was a good performance. It said he'd been away to Chelmsford just recently to put the finishing touches on him, and William Haggis had him here ripe and ready to go after 176 days off, but I don't think it mattered either way how they'd have ridden him or what they'd have done with this horse, because he was just by far the best. You know, he's bolted up really.
You mentioned that he travelled strongly. His only defeat after his debut so far has come when he's stepped up to a mile and a quarter at Goodwood last August. This looks like a horse who can probably step up and run at a higher level than this. Do you think you'd be looking for races around a mile, maybe?
Yeah, he seems to have plenty of pace. And even, like I've said, on not very enjoyable ground like that, the speed he showed, you know, because you picked him out even three furlongs down and you were just maybe hoping that he hadn't done too much too soon under James Doyle. He travelled that strong, you know. As I said, even conditions being as they were. But he looks a fair horse going forward. I thought the horse of Dave O'Meara's, who won the race last year, and unfortunately Bravery, who won it last year, was out this time. But I thought the runner this year also in Lord Lidder's, you know, with 9 stone 10 on his back in that sort of ground, he's a very, very consistent horse, this. I mean, I know he did cost him a few quid to buy him, but he went a good way about paying the back last year, and he's run another very, very credible race. He was also racing sort of on his own up the middle of the track, really, in the last sort of furlong and a half. So, and under 9 stone 8, giving £2 plus to the whole field, it was a very, very good performance.
Yeah, Lord Glitter's potentially one to take out of the race, the Lincoln. But it's something I do want to touch on, as concerns the beginning of the flat season. It's something we've heard a few people talking about this year, and that's how we have this big start at Doncaster with the Lincoln and the Brocklesby and all these good races. And then sort of the attention switches back to jumps for a little while, and then it sort of peters back in with the flat, and you've got the Craven meeting. But it sort of splutters into gear, the flat season. Now, you're probably quite well placed to answer this as someone who's ridden over both jumps and on the flat. Do you think it needs to start with more of a bang, the flat season?
Certainly up north, it splutters.
Yeah.
You know, because after Doncaster today, I think maybe There's a red card the week after on the Monday, Easter Monday, I think. It's very, very hit and miss.
Yeah.
It's very slow, very staggered start, which, yeah, in a way it helps maybe build the job up a little bit. But, yeah, it's very staggered, no consistency to it. I mean, you know, after Doncaster today, it's sort of you're just reverting back to the norm as you like your winter routine and you're on the artificial surface. But, yeah, it maybe gets going a bit quicker. Our momentum gathers a little bit earlier on the Southern Circuit on the flat, but you know I've always been of the opinion, and I've always said that really racing never gets. You would never class yourself as I'm busy or I'm flat out riding until after the Guineas, John.
Really, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like it's then when the Jockey Championship starts as well. Also on this new the new championship dates that they've got and stuff. But yeah, for me, I think really up until then you can't really say, oh yeah, we're off now and we're racing sort of most days and we're very busy. And like, you know, your Guineas really is a little bit off yet to say that the grass has kicked off today.
Let's touch on that Jockeys Championship structure as well, because the way it is, finishing a Champions Day actually means that a Group 1 race in the Racing Post Trophy is run outside the period that the Jockeys Championship, the Flat Jockeys Championship, runs for. Where do you fall on that argument that the people, you know, they talk about it a lot, whether it should run for the whole year, maybe it should run for a longer period of sort of restricted few months?
Yeah, I think it's, like a lot of things, John, it's overcomplicated. You know why? Like, it's I don't really see the reason. Just give a jockey one date to run to another one. But you know, if the racing on the grass starts today, we've not raced on the grass since last November. We've been on the all weather all winter. Grass starts again today. Start the championship today. It's the turf. You know, turf championship. Turf starts today. Start it today and finish it when the turf finishes. Just so simple. I don't really. It's very actually hard to keep track of where all, you know, because then obviously you've got your all weather championships. Then you've got, you know, guys who are leading riders from the 1st of January to the 31st of December. You lose track of it really, and I think it's lost. It's maybe lost. It's what would you call it? People aren't as interested anymore now, John, to be honest, in, oh, who's going to be champion jockey? And you know, you see, you know, riders. And for me, I think winners on the all-weather shouldn't count. You know, it's the grass championship. Luke Morris is and Kirby have the battle on the all-weather for the all-weather championships. And then you've got, you know, your few names in the hat there go for the grass championships. So I don't think all-weather winners should be included, because you know, you'll have your Sylvesters and Jim going to having to trek to Wolverhamptons on the Mondays just to keep the numbers up. And it's no, it doesn't really, it adds nothing to it for me personally. You know, I think it's all about riding on the grass. It's like the football, you know, no season is won and lost in one day. And you know, because you can go to Ascot on a Saturday and ride a big massive winner on the grass. It's all about them winners through the week on the grass, you know, trying to win these Mickey Mouse races on these Mickey Mouse horses. You know, that takes an awful lot of doing, you know, trying to get an average horse to win any race. So I don't know. It has because they've moved the dates around so much, and you know, they've given these championships so many different names. It's I'd say with me and I'd say a good few other people, it's probably lost the interest really. You know, because people do struggle to keep track of where the whole thing starts and where it ends up.
If you were going to shift the emphasis onto turf flat racing, what you could do is have a championship that begins with a Lincoln handicap at Doncaster and ends with a November handicap also at Doncaster. And wouldn't that also be a good initiative for Northern Racing as well, to have the championship begin and end at Doncaster?
Yeah, of course. There's no doubt. I fully agree. And, you know, it's like, yeah, obviously there's reasons why they do these things, I'm sure. It's all about sponsorship and getting more people on board and involved. But, yeah, I just think some things, John, are better kept simple.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you can tweak things and make them better and alter a few things to improve and get more money involved and like I said, more sponsorship. But I think simplicity for me is a big key to an awful lot of things. I think if you try and involve too much red tape and complicate things and it can, you know, get a bit tedious. And for me, just for the general racing public who haven't got the time to follow it day in, day out and religiously, they lose track, you know, and it's difficult to follow, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if it stays as is, or with everyone calling, well, not a lot of people calling for change, if it changes in the coming couple of years. But we'll switch our attention, Paddy, now to something more in the immediate future, and that's Sunday's racing. Of course, you can hear it live on William Hill's Racing Radio, as with all British racing and the best racing from Ireland as well. You've picked out two selections for us, and I believe they both run at Carlisle.
Carlisle tomorrow. I've gone back-to-back races, the 325... I have a horse for Tony and Rose Dobbin called Slane Lock. He's got top weight tomorrow and he's going to have to come forward again. But he's been very, very consistent, really. It cost a few quid, to be honest, for Tony and Rose to get this horse. But he was second on his only start in a point-to-point in Ireland. And he was quite well back that day and wasn't disgraced at all. But he won at Doncaster two runs back. And then the last time... It was actually at Carlisle. He's got a good, pretty decent record around Carlisle as well. But he's a very, very consistent horse. Gets all well with Craig Nicol, and if he can carry this well to burden weight tomorrow, I think he's got a fair good chance, because there's going to be plenty of pace in this race. And I think because Pistol likes to go forward, Tonto Spirit, he can go hard from the front as well. You know, we both know conditions up at Carlisle tomorrow are going to be pretty grueling, as they normally are, and it's a very, very stiff track. So, you know, I think it might just be one for horses that are going to be, I won't say right on the business end, but just take a lead and are ridden sort of sensibly. And Slane Lock, especially with 11-12 on his back, they're going to have to, they'll have no choice but to ride him sensible. And for me, I do think he's a horse that's still on the improve. He's only six. His yard are having a very good season, and like I said, Craig Nicol knows him well, and I think he's up to defying top weight tomorrow.
Slane Lock for Rose Dobbin and Craig Nicol in the 3:25 at Carlisle, that Class 3 handicap hurdle. And the next selection, the second and final one, running just 35 minutes later.
Yeah, I've actually gone for two top weights tomorrow. I've gone for Brian Hughes' Robin the Prey here for Root Jefferson. He is only having his 11th start tomorrow. Same thing, he's not been overused, but he was second on his only start in point-to-point.
There's a theme emerging.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But he's also got a little bit of Carlisle form as well, to be honest, Sean. But, I mean, look, the connections have gone steady with him. He's only had two starts over fences, and they started him at a small track as well. And when I say a small track, I mean pretty small fences in Sedgefield, which, you know, some horses are might be well capable of jumping a fence, but sometimes it can only be a small fence. You know, you can say, oh yeah, he will jump a fence, but maybe just a small one, you know. And this horse in particular, I think, is maybe one of them. And Carlisle sort of follows that suit. It's a stiffer track, it's a bit more of a traditional jumping track, but the fences aren't that demanding, you know. They're well built, well made. Obviously still take jumping, but connections have gone steady with him. He's only had two chase starts, and both of them were around Sedgefield last day when he got off the mark over fence. It was only four runners, but he'd done the job quite nicely. And if he keeps getting his act together, I think he also could be up to defying top weight tomorrow for a yard who's doing pretty well. And like I say, I just think they've managed this horse quite well. They've taken it gradually. They've not overfaced him, although he's got a bigger field to contend with tomorrow. Like I say, conditions being as they are, it'll be steady stuff. So his jumping surely won't be put that much to the test. And I think he could be up for going back to back.
Robbing the Prey, then. He makes his third start in the chase in the 4 o'clock in Carlisle on Sunday. And Paddy likes the look of him for that contest. Brilliant. Well, those are your two selections in racing on Sunday. All that can be heard live, of course, on William Hill's Racing Radio. Gets underway from around 10 to 2. Hopefully they'll squeeze in the best of the Irish stuff as well. And it's a good day of racing over here as well. Flat and jumps as we begin the slow transition into the flat season. The Daily Racing Podcast back tomorrow as well. Myself joined by Alistair Jones. But for now, Paddy, thanks for joining us on today's podcast.
No problem, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.